Gateway Christian Center. Experience life.
So as I wanted to do some series of teachings, but for about 3 days, as I was beginning to prepare and to think of today, the Lord began to put a word in my heart, and so I want to, it's a continuation of what I taught on Sunday. I didn't plan it so, because I wanted to go into something. Actually, I wanted to continue from where Sister Patience stopped. That was actually what was in my heart, and that was what was on my calendar. But the Lord impressed upon my heart, you know, impressed upon my heart strongly, and actually began to minister what I'm about to teach today over the night in my spirit. And the Lord said to me, he said, you can fight against, or you can stand against demonic spirits. That's fine. He said, but some people have a way of creating a platform for demonic spirits or satanic spirit to operate from their lives. Is that okay? And so the Lord ministered to me to speak to us how not to allow. Is that okay? Not to create a platform in our lives where demonic spirits can operate from. You know, you can, what I'm saying is that you can, I'm trying to get a good example to illustrate what I'm trying to say. So let me put it this way. You know, you can decide to wash every fruit you buy in the market, right? Is that right? What are you doing? You're fighting against germs, right? So that you don't eat germs, right? But it's possible for you to eat food with unwashed hands, with dirty hands. Now, when you eat with dirty hands, you are the carrier of the germ, not what you are eating. Are we understanding that? So what I'm saying is that the Holy Spirit spoke to me and said, don't just teach the people how to cast out, how to withstand an enemy that is coming to them, but to know how to ensure that their lives is not a platform from where the enemy can stand and fight them. Are we understanding that? Are we understanding that? So I titled what I'm going to be teaching. I don't know if I can finish today. I will start. I'm not sure whether I can finish or I cannot finish. Wherever we stop, we'll finish it on Sunday. I want to speak on what I title, Dealing with the Things That Deal With Us. Dealing with the things that what? That deal with us. Dealing with the things that deal with us. If you are going to be a successful believer, or if you're going to be successful in life or a great Christian, you must have the capacity to assess things well. You must have the capacity, if you're going to be successful in life, you must have the capacity to assess things well. The prodigal son assessed his situation. He said, in my father's house, the servants have enough to eat and to spare. He said, but look at me, I'm here and I'm begging for what to eat. Right? So he had to make an assessment of his life. The shrewd servant made an assessment of his life. He said, I cannot steal and I cannot beg. He said, so what am I going to do? Becoming great begins by self-assessment. The Bible says, if you judge yourself, you will not be judged. And one of the areas where people are careless sometimes is that people don't like to take responsibility for what they themselves create or invite. Are you understanding what I'm saying? People don't like to take responsibility for what they themselves invite or what they create. Genesis chapter 3, verse 9. People don't like to, listen to me. If you learn to take responsibility, you have already succeeded 50%. If you learn to take responsibility. And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, "Where art thou?" And he said, "I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself." And he said, "Who told you that thou was naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree whereof I commanded thee that thou shouldest not eat?" And the man said, now I want to ask you a question. When God asked him, "Have you eaten of the tree that I said you should not eat?" What is supposed to be the response? "Yes, I did." You can add, "I'm sorry." Are you getting my point? But what was the response? And the man said, "The woman whom thou gavest to be with me, she gave me of the tree and I did eat." Is that an answer to the question that he was asked? You see, the problem with the human being is that we don't like to take responsibility. We don't like to take responsibility. The first key to dealing with many things in our lives begins with us taking responsibility. It begins with us taking responsibility. I'm not saying that you will be responsible for everything or every negative thing that will happen in your life, but for most things that is going to happen in your life, you will have a part to play in it. And if you're going to fix the situation, you have to learn to take responsibility. Let's continue. And the Lord God said unto the woman, "What is this that thou hast done?" And the woman said, "The serpent beguiled me, and I did eat." So the human being likes to pass on the buck. The human being doesn't want to take responsibility. You want other people. You want to put the blame on other people or put the blame on other things. Many people complain about their situation but never make any effort to correct it. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 verse 21. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 verse 21. "For he has made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him." I want to use this scripture to show us something. Man fell into sin. Man did not know how to save himself. God was the only one that knew how to save man. And God wanted man to be saved. So God took the responsibility for man's salvation. And because he took the responsibility for man's salvation, the part of the responsibility for man's salvation was that God had to take the sin of man upon himself. Even though he knew no sin. Is anybody hearing what I'm saying? I say, is anybody hearing what I'm saying? Even though he knew no sin, the Bible says he became sin. Who knew that we might be? So in other words, there was a result God wanted. And because God wanted that result, God was willing to take responsibility, pay the price, so that he can see that thing he wanted. I'm going to be sharing some things with us. The Lord spoke to me in a way I've never seen the things that he put in my heart. Hallelujah. So, you must learn to take responsibility. John 14, 30. Okay. "Hereafter, I will not talk much with you, for the prince of this world cometh, and had nothing in me. For the prince of this world cometh, and has nothing in me." Listen to me. It is difficult for Satan to afflict a man that has not given Satan a platform in his life. Is anybody hearing what I'm saying?
Are you hearing what I'm saying? It's difficult for Satan to do certain things in the life of a man except that man has built a platform. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Listen to me. No matter how much we like it, are you hearing me? A jet cannot land on this road. No matter how you like it, this road that we have here, a jet, a normal aircraft will find it difficult to land here. You know why? There is no platform. Is anybody hearing what I'm saying? There is no platform to receive it. Jesus said, Satan came. Are you hearing me? He came. There was something that brought him. But when he came, he found nothing. There was no place for him to be able to land and to operate. When Satan is fighting you, the first thing to begin to look at is what is in my life. Are you hearing what I'm saying? What is in my life that gives Satan the opportunity to be able to do the things that he is doing? It's very important. Proverbs 26 verse 2. Proverbs 26 verse 2. As the bird by wandering, as the swallow by flying, a curse causeless shall not come. Give me another translation if you have. New Living Translation, Message, anything. As the bird by wandering, as the swallow by flying, so the curse causeless shall not come. In other words, if somebody was to send a curse to you and there was no reason, there is no basis, that curse will not happen. Don't say hallelujah quickly because you don't know where I'm going to. I'm just trying to tell you that there are things that are happening many times in the lives of people. It is because there's a platform. Are you hearing what I'm saying? There's a beachhead from which Satan is using, or there's a beachhead that receives the things that Satan is doing in the lives of those people. Like a fluttering sparrow or a darting swallow, an undeserved curse does not come to rest. In other words, something, if you see it happening, something has encouraged it. Something has given it a basis. Are you hearing what I'm saying? A landing space. Matthew 12:43. When the unclean spirit is gone out of a man, he walketh through dry places seeking rest and findeth none. So let me explain what this means. It means that that spirit, are you hearing me, is trying to find a place of rest, but all the places he's going to are dry places, because demon spirits don't stay in dry places. Are you understanding? Are you understanding what I'm saying? He goes through those places finding rest. When he finds none, he comes back to where he left. That means that if you create your life, if your life is such of a nature that is very comfortable for Satan to rest, it will rest in your life. So where Satan finds expression, or where satanic or demonic powers find expression, are places where there is a platform for them to rest. Are you hearing what I'm saying today? In other words, if you don't want certain things to be happening in your life, then there are certain things that you must not allow in your life also. Because once it's happening in your life, you have created the platform from which Satan is going to operate. So you can be casting out demons and you can be casting out devils. Are you hearing me? But you have, even if they leave, they will come back. Because are you hearing what I'm saying? You have created an atmosphere that is conducive. Are you hearing what I'm saying? One of the things that I battled with, you know, around this area, one of the things we battle with are rats. There's a lot of infestation, rat infestation around this area. For those who live around this area, you will know that. One thing I discovered is that you will never be able to really deal with rats if you keep food around, if you keep food in an open space. You can't. No matter what you do, no matter the kind of thing that you do, they will come back. They will come back because there's an environment that is conducive. Are you hearing what I'm saying? There's an environment that is conducive for their operation. They are looking for food. Now you have left food available for them. They will come. No matter the kind of thing you do, you put in place, after a while, they will come back. Praise God. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8. I'm trying to lay a foundation on something. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8. 8 and 9. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8 and 9. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. Seeking, which means there is a particular person, or there are particular people they are looking for. Hallelujah. They are not just, he's not just, you know, when you read that scripture, there's a tendency to think that Satan is just walking, he's just walking about, just trolling. No. When God asked him, he said that in the book of Job, he said, "Where are you?" He said, "I am coming from walking to and fro upon the earth." If you read it, you will think that he's just walking around. No, he is not just walking around. The Bible tells us what he is doing. The Bible says, "Seek him for whom he will devour." In other words, it's not an aimless movement. It's a movement, it's an intentional, purposeful movement, and he is looking for the person that has the qualities he's looking for, that he can be able to access that life. So my greatest defense against Satan is not casting him out. My greatest defense against Satan is ensuring that my life is not a platform that Satan can find very, are you hearing me? That Satan can find comfortable for him enough to live in that life. And that was the secret of Jesus. He said he came to me. The evil one came. It's not that he didn't come. He came, but he found nothing in me. He found no place. And what we want to look at are the, listen to me, what we want to look at are the things that Satan finds in men. Are you hearing me? The things that Satan finds in men, upon which Satan now can alight. Because if he does not find it, you will not be able to operate in your life. Even, are you hearing what I'm saying? Let me say this to you in quotes. Please don't quote me. Even if you are not praying, if Satan was to come into your life and does not find a place that has been prepared for him, he will not be able to learn. He may try. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Listen to me. Many things that we are praying about, the prayers are unnecessary if we did what was right. Are you hearing what I'm saying? I say, are you hearing what I'm saying? The prayers would have been unnecessary if we were walking right. But because we are not walking right now, we have to go into making sacrifices. For obedience is better than sacrifice. So what we do is that we go into many doing many things, but the major thing we are supposed to do, we don't do them. If you understand this, listen to me. If you get what I'm about to, what we are sharing today, many things in your life will fix themselves. They will make the necessary, they will make the necessary adjustment all by themselves. Satan is not looking for everybody. He knows it's not everybody he can operate in his life. He knows it. It's not everybody he can operate in his life. He moves to and fro upon the earth. He is the accuser of the brethren. The Bible says he accuses them day and night. He's like a roaring lion, seeking for whom. The problem is, are you the whom? Are you the whom Satan is looking for? Amen. Praise God. Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 26. Let's go to Ephesians. Chapter 4, verse 26 to 32. My focus is on verse 27. Be ye angry and what? Sin not. Sin not. Let not the sun go down on your wrath. Yes. Neither what? Give place to the devil. Next verse. Let's continue. Let him that steals steal no more, But rather, let him labor, working with his hands, the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. Verse 30, final. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Now, all of these other verses, is that okay? Are just explaining to you the things that you should do so that you will not give place to the enemy. But are you hearing what I'm saying? What does verse 27 say? Neither what? Give place to the devil. Now, if you read this scripture in context, verse 26 and verse 27, it's as though Paul was talking. Are you hearing me? It's like he went ahead of himself. Look at verse 6, verse 26. It's as if he went ahead of himself. Be angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. Now, look at it. It's a colon that is in that place. That means that he's trying to explain to you the reason why you should not let the sun go down on your anger. What is that? Verse 27. Neither give place to the devil. In other words, what he is really trying to tell you is that don't give any place to the devil. In other words, if you live a life like this, what eventually happens is that you open up a place for the devil to operate from your life. During the 12th day Israel-Iran war, let me give you an idea of something that happened. So what happened was that, I can't remember how it, what happened, but it's like Israel flew some planes into Iran. Now, Iran has one of the largest stockpile of missiles worldwide. It's the part of the only reason why they are afraid of them. So the moment they flew into Iranian airspace, Iran opened up all the locations where their missiles were and started shooting. And what Israel wanted to know, where are your missile launchers? Where are they located? That was what Israel wanted to know. Where are your missile launchers located? So the moment they opened up all their missile launchers aside, Israel pinpointed the locations and destroyed all the missile launchers. Are you hearing what I'm saying? What is my point? Every time you do certain things, Satan knows this is your weakness. This is all right. Okay, we get it. Is anybody understanding what I'm saying? So Satan, listen to me. Satan, it's difficult for Satan to afflict you in an area you don't have a weakness. If fornication is your problem, that is your, if Satan is attacking you with fornication, that is where your weakness is. If Satan is attacking you with lying, that is where your weakness is. Is anybody hearing what I'm saying? That is where your weakness, don't spiritualize it. That is where the weakness is. If you are quickly angry, that is where the weakness is. And that means as Satan attacks you in that area, that also means that your warfare has been defined for you. Is anybody hearing what I'm saying? I say, are you hearing what I'm saying? When you have problem with gluttony, if your problem is gluttony, every time we declare fasting, that is when you used to have, you begin to have ulcer, you know, that is when, listen, don't be fighting the spirit of lying. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Deal with that spirit of gluttony. Declare 21 days prayer and fasting for yourself. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Because that is the platform upon which Satan will fight your destiny. Amen. So, having said that, let's look at James chapter 1, verse 13. James 1:13. Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempted he any man. Next verse. But every man is tempted. How? When he is what? Drawn of what? Of his own lusts. Are you hearing me? Are you hearing me? When you slapped somebody, don't say he talked to me anyhow. That anger, that slapping was a response, was something inside you. It had nothing to do with the person. Why did you talk to your husband like that? Don't say, No. It's something inside you. Every man is tempted when he is what? drawn away, how? Of his own lust and enticed. Next verse. Then when lust has conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, in other words, sin, it does some work. It takes time to work. When it is finished, what? Bringeth forth death. Is anybody hearing what I'm saying? He said, why did you take that money? He said, they just left it on the table like that. They just left it on the table. Why did you take the money? They left it on the table. No, it's not. They didn't leave. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Are you hearing what I'm saying? They left it on the... Are you hearing what I'm saying? I've had this argument, which I don't like, and I don't agree with it. The argument that I've had women say, when they say, oh, don't dress anyhow, then women say, you take your eye off. I don't agree with the argument. But there's a truth to it. It was Job that said, I've made a covenant with my eyes. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Let me tell you. When you dress improperly, the moment I see you, I look at you once, I take off my eyes. Are you hearing what I'm saying? That is the reason why if the choir members dress improperly, immediately I drop them off stage. Because there's no way you are leading worship, I will not look at you. So, are you hearing what I'm saying? So, if you are improperly dressed and you are in the choir, if you are anywhere else, I can decide not to see you. But because you are in the choir, I have to take you down. Because you are my leader during worship. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Yes. I don't agree. I don't like the argument when they say, why are you looking at? Are you invisible? You will assume you are invisible. But at the same time, are you hearing what I'm saying? Are you hearing me? You must decide what you will use your eye for. Is anybody hearing what I'm saying? So if you, let me say this. To look once is permitted. To look once is permitted. To look twice is optional. Did you hear what I said? Are you hearing what I'm saying? I said what? To look once is permitted. To look twice is optional. To look the third time is to invite. Are you hearing what I'm saying? At that point now, you are the one writing invitation letter to yourself. When lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. Now go back to verse 13. Go back to verse 14. Look at what verse 14 is saying. Let's go back to verse 14. But every man is tempted. How? When he is drawn. How? Of his own. Praise God. Are we together, church? You cannot be attracted by what you don't like. Hello? I said what? You cannot be attracted by what you don't like. Only what you like can attract you. I went to visit a guy, a man. And in the presence of his wife, he was telling me, you know, we grew up in the same area. I just married her because I pitied her. Say when she was small, I was paying her school fees. I say, you are a liar. As of that time, they have two children. I know that he was lying. I don't know who he was trying to impress, but he's a liar. Hallelujah. Amen. Are we together, church? All right. There are areas that I felt by the Spirit of God for us to consider, because there are areas that the enemy tends to easily. Is that right? There are areas where the enemy tends to easily get us into trouble. They create platforms for Satan to operate. If you are going to ensure that Satan does not use your life as a basis from where to operate, you must be very careful with these things. Are we together, church? So in this teaching, I want to look at some of this area, not everything, but some of those areas. Hallelujah. And if, as the Lord gives me time, I want to look at those things. Today, we're going, so let's look at the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 2. Amen. All right. 2 Corinthians chapter 2 verse 7. Lest Satan should get an advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. So when Paul writes this scripture, something happened in the church. You know, the book of Corinthians, 1 and 2 Corinthians, was actually a letter the Corinthian church wrote to Paul. So Paul was trying to answer a question. Is that okay? Or he was answering questions from the Corinthian church. Now, many people read this verse and they don't have a background knowledge of what was actually happening. So let's go back to verse, chapter 2, verse 7. Let's go to chapter 2, verse 7. Let me show you something that was happening. So that contrarywise, ye ought rather to, let's go to verse 5. Let's go to 2, verse 5. Let's go to 2, verse 5. But if any have caused grief, much earlier than this. Let's go to verse, let's start from verse 2. Verse 1, from verse 1 of chapter 2 of this one. But I determined this with myself, that I will not come again to you in heaviness. In other words, I will not come to you while I'm unhappy. Next verse. For if I make you sorry, who is he then that maketh me glad, but the same which is made sorry by me? Next verse. And I wrote this same unto you, lest when I came, I should have sorrow from them of whom I ought to rejoice. Having confidence in you all, that my joy is the joy of you all. For out of much affliction and anguish of heart, I wrote unto you with many tears, not that ye should be grieved, but that ye might know the love which I have more abundantly unto you. But if any have caused grief, he had not grieved me, but in part, that I may not overcharge you all. Next verse. Sufficient to such a man is this punishment which was inflicted of many. So that contrarywise, ye ought rather to forgive him and comfort him, lest perhaps such a one should be swallowed up with much sorrow. Next verse. Wherefore I beseech you that ye should confirm your love toward him. Is that right? For to this end also did I write, that I might know the proof of you, whether ye be obedient in all things. I will explain. To whom ye forgive anything, I forgive also. For if I forgive anything, I forgive also. For if I forgive anything, to whom I forgive, to whom I forgive it, for your sakes forgive I it in the person of Christ. Now let me explain what is happening. What is happening is that if you read 1 Corinthians, right? Paul writes to the Corinthian church and say, I hear amongst you that somebody is committing sin. Not even the kind of sin that unbelievers commit. That a man, a brother among you, is sleeping with his father's wife. Then Paul said, such a one, send him out of church. Are you hearing me? He said, send him out of church. In fact, Paul makes a very strong statement. He said, hand him over to Satan. That is in 1 Corinthians. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Now, Paul is writing 2 Corinthians. This particular chapter is making reference to that situation. Are you hearing me? But in this second Corinthians now, Paul is saying, that brother that I told you to send away, I am now pleading with you to forgive him. Are you understanding? He said, I don't want to come and meet you people unhappy. I want when I come, you should be happy. Because if I come and you are unhappy, will I be happy? After all, you are the ones that are supposed to make me happy. And so therefore, when I stand with you and I agree with you that I by the instruction I gave, and you obeyed that instruction, which means you are willing to obey even in my absence. So I tested you to see if you will obey. You have obeyed. Now I am saying, bring back that brother. Because anybody whom you have forgiven, I have also forgiven him. Are you understanding the context? Then go to verse 11 now. Then Paul makes a very important statement. Now he says, lest Satan should take advantage of us. In other words, if we do not bring that brother back, the brother may even completely backslide. Is anybody understanding that?
So Satan is going to take advantage of us. That is, in trying to correct a problem, we have created a greater problem. So Satan has come in by trickery and has taken advantage of us. Are you hearing me? For why? We are not ignorant of the devices of the devil. In other words, you know, sometimes in correcting somebody, you may create greater harm. In trying to, Paul is saying, we should not, in trying to correct, fall into the hands of Satan. Are we together? In trying to do good, we should not fall. So, in other words, you see, you can create a platform from where Satan can operate. Are we understanding that? Now, let's look at Luke chapter 22, verse 31. Luke 22, verse 31. And the Lord says, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan has desired to have you. He said that he may sift you as wheat. Behold, Satan has desired to have you, that he might sift you as wheat. Next verse. But I have prayed for you that your faith fail not. And when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. My concern is verse 1. Satan, if you read the message translation, give me the message. Look at what the message translation says. Simon, stay on your toes. Satan has tried his best to separate all of you from me. I don't know which translation. Is it the Passion translation? He says, Satan has applied for you. And you know, we can agree with that translation because Satan applied for Job. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Now, what I'm saying to you is that, look at this. Go back to that ESV. Simon, Simon, behold, Satan has demanded to have you. It was an application. Are you understanding what I'm saying? And let me tell you something. Had Jesus not prayed for him? Are you hearing me? Which means there was a basis upon which Satan wanted to stand to come into the life of Peter. Are you hearing what I'm saying? There was something Satan saw in Peter's life that Satan wanted to use as a platform to come. If you have been following me, now we're going to look at a number of things today. Praise God. The first thing I want to look at is not the first thing, it's not made up for everybody, but the first thing, it affects everybody. I want you to listen to me carefully. One of the first and easy ways that Satan creates a platform in the lives of people is offense. What did I say? Offense. Offense. Is one of the cheapest. Now, let me say, offense is in levels. Now, let me ask you a question. How many people have been offended today? You were offended. Now, I know because I said offense, Satan uses it. You don't want to. I didn't say you are holding to it. I say something offended you today. How many people here? Did something offend you? Let me say. Ah, chap. Any of you who go to heaven, this whole row, nobody was offended today. Fantastic. How many people were offended today? Something offended you. Whether it is bike man or MTN took your credit. How many of you here were offended? Something offended you today. Hallelujah. One of the easiest ways that Satan creates a platform in the lives of people is offense. Is offense. Now, some people deal with offense quicker than some others. Are you hearing me? Now, simply, are you hearing what I'm saying? Some people deal with offense quicker and some people deal with offense more differently than other people do. But listen to me. The Bible says one of the guarantees scripture gives us is that offenses will come. I'm going to be looking at 5 major issues. This is one of them. Offense is one of them. One of the guarantees scripture gives us is that offenses will come. And I have taught it time without number in church. I said the word offense comes from the word scandalon or scandalizo. And how many of you know a trap. How many of you have seen this rat trap before? Have you seen this trap they put for rats? Praise God. Now, you know, on the trap, there's one metal that you hold the trap. When you bend the trap, there's one metal you hold. And you know that metal is where you put the bait. Right? Now, once something moves that thing, the trap comes into. Now, that thing is what is called a scandalon. In other words, the purpose of offense is to trap you. There are three things that will happen when a person is offended. One is that the person will stumble. The intention of offense is to make you to stumble. Secondly, is to make you to fall into sin. And thirdly, is to hinder your faith. Thirdly, is to hinder your faith. Number one, it causes you to stumble. Number two, it makes you to fall into sin. Number three, it hinders your faith. Why do people get offended? People become offended on three reasons. People become offended for three reasons. Number one, when their ego is brushed, that is, offense comes as a result of pride. Are you hearing me? And 70% of offenses is a product of pride. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. When you say, why did he talk to me like that? What do you think he's talking? What do you think he's talking? Pride is talking. And listen to me, the Bible says, for pride goeth before a fall. So every, are you hearing what I'm saying? Yes. Do you know that? Has somebody ever gave you what is called a dirty slap? Especially in public. Has somebody ever slapped you? Do you know that if somebody slaps you, there's a slap. You know, there are slaps and there are slaps. You know, when somebody slaps you, especially in public, let me tell you something. I don't want to call his name. It's late now. When I got admission to UNIMIT, I was escorting my friend. He was in REMS. He was going to go and get something, so I was escorting him. So we're climbing a staircase. I was climbing the steps. You know, like you are climbing the steps. You turn your face, you know. You're talking to somebody and you are climbing the steps at the same time. So I was talking to someone and I was climbing the steps at the same time. Pastor Awa will know the person I'm talking about. He was a professor in mathematics. He was one time your head of department. So it's like I was climbing the step like this. I was turning to talk to somebody. I was climbing the step. I didn't know he was coming down. So as I climbed up, I hit him. I just had one slap. Now, let me tell the truth. The slap was not what worried me. It was all the students that were there. People came to register admission and everything. It was not a slap. See, let me be sincere with you. It took Jesus himself and the Holy Ghost. I think I held that thing for close to 3 years. For close to 3 years, it was as if any time I heard his name, I had to help myself not to wish him. I wanted something to happen to him and for him to know it was because he slapped me. How many of you have ever had that feeling? How many of you have ever had that feeling? I wanted something to happen and let it be in such a way that he will know that what happened to him was because he slapped me. You know, Jesus is not like you. What pained me was not as much as the slap. Was one of the slap in the Guinness Book of Record, as much as it was like that. But it was not the slap that pained me. It was the fact that, do you know that when he slapped me, literally some students, as if their books fell down from their hand. The whole place. And you know, I was on a staircase. So everybody who was lower than the staircase, everyone just stopped. You could hear, and there was silence in heaven. You could hear it. You could hear it. And you know what? The way he slapped me, and then did as if nothing happened. He walked down and continued with whatever he was doing. He didn't even dignify me by saying, "Why did you hit me?" At least if he had said it, I would have a consolation. That, are you understanding my point? Now, do you know many times what brings offense is our ego. The moment we feel that somebody has done something to us that we should not be done to us. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Number two, I call them the three E's. Number one is ego. Number two is when there are failed expectations. Amen? When there are what? Failed what? How many of you are offended from Valentine? You are offended right now. You are carrying it over. You have a carryover offense. Because of an expectation. There used to be somebody I've told the story in this church. When the woman got married, she was expecting honeymoon. And the man did not take her for honeymoon. As of the time I got to know the fight, their first child was more than 12 years old. And let me tell you something. You will look at it like a joke. You know, I discovered something. What is easy for some people is difficult for some people. Now, you may look at it and you will sit down somewhere and say, what is it? Why should you be offended? You will be surprised if I tell you that as of today, that marriage is not existing. And part of the problem were some of these things. Now, you are looking at it and you are saying, what is it? Are you hearing me? But Satan has found... Are you hearing what I'm saying? Satan found a platform upon the strength of that. The third E is the absence of external approval. Sometimes, are you hearing me? People want you to give approval. Now, let me say something to you. People want you to give approval. Are you hearing me? People want approval. And this is where, this is dicey. And let me tell you something, that sometimes it happens within organizations, it happens in church. Somebody may come to an office and he just started working. Are you hearing me? Maybe just started working 6 months or 1 year. Some people are in that organization 5 years, 7 years. At the end of the year, they are given best teacher of the year. Because they use the word best teacher of the year, you feel that you have tried. They didn't recognize you. They recognized the other person. You don't know that that person is being recognized for a cumulative faithfulness of 5 years, 6 years. Because they use the word best teacher of the year, and you felt that you have spent 1 year. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Are you understanding what I almost fell into that trap when I was a young minister. One time they invited us for a meeting. And at the headquarters church, they invited everyone, and I was one of the pastors at headquarters. So they invited us for a meeting and they said, let's come and talk about the pastors that they will start giving, you know, they'll start giving them some stipends. So when the meeting, we discussed everything, we discussed the hierarchy. When they finished the meeting, they called one or two pastors. Me was not included. Another pastor was not included. Another pastor said, so I said, they discussed all of this and we were not included in it. Let me even tell you one, that God Jesus helped me. When I went to Bible school, there was this pastor, I won't call his name, he's a very popular minister now. We went to Bible school together. He's from South. And I was one of the youngest of all the pastors that went to the Bible school. I was probably, if I was not, maybe two, I think there were about two of us or so. And I was the one that was not, I think, okay, three of us or so were not overseers. So in the Bible school, this man was a bit older than me. his bed was close to mine because it was an open hostel. He was a big pastor as of that time, 2009 or so. He was having like 400, 500 congregation, south. So he had money. So every day he would meet me and say, because I was young, I was flowing with everybody that was there. He would meet me and he would give me 10,000 or give me 20,000. I said, look for pastors that are struggling and share for them. So I will look for pastors that are struggling. I will give them. I will make the list how much I gave. I'll come and tell you. Tell me, don't tell anybody. So as I was doing it, I tell you the truth, I lie not. In my heart, I was saying, Rananana. I'm just serving for now as well. God, before we were to leave, for like a week to when we were to leave, for a few days, he told his church to bring clothes. So many things, they were coming to pick him. So he told them to bring clothes, bring so many things. He told me, write down the names of 11 pastors who he wants to bless before he will leave. So I wrote down. I'm telling you that within that week, I must have given out close to about 300,000. Give this one 50,000, give that one 30,000, give this one this. When I finished giving all the money, in fact, as of that time, he was telling me that you should come to. He was calling which city he is. He was telling me, you should come to our church, you know, and everything. That time, he is very close to David Ibiome. So that time it was in his mouth. I first heard of Pastor David Ibiome. So David Ibiome will call him personally while we're there. And have a discussion with him and everything. Tell me, Pastor Ibiome was selling off all the buses he had. He gave him some of the buses and all of that. So what do you think I was? At least one bus. See. when we finished everything, took photograph, everything, he just walked up to me and said, my people are waiting for me. Pastor Michelle, God bless you. It was nice meeting you. And went and entered his car and left. Now, some people are offended for me now. Some people are offended for me. That was when God taught me that it is more blessed to give than to receive. I learned it practically, not I heard it. I learned it. Throughout that Bible school, I probably would have distributed about 500,000 to people. Now, if you are not careful, and you know, I maintained relationship with that guy for about 3-4 years before we eventually lost contact. If you are not careful, are you hearing what I'm saying? Satan will enter your heart. There are people who have been who expect. You are expecting some form of approval, some form of validation. So, is anybody hearing what I'm saying? And listen to me. I want you to know something. The offender sometimes does not even mean to offend you, because this man was still calling me. He was the one that called me to know if I have reached Maiduguri safely. When I read his body language, I knew that this man didn't even know that I was not happy. He related with me normal. Now, let me tell you, that is, you know, listen to me. Can I preach this evening? You know, I'm trying to pick this thing one by one. I told you there are 5 things. This one is one. And I'm trying to get you somewhere. Listen to me. Do you know that you can be offended, and the person that offended you does not even know that you are offended? And do you know that you can be offended? Do you know that you can be rightly offended? But I hope you can also be, you know, that you can be wrongly offended. And it doesn't matter whether it is rightly offended or wrong. That is, that the offense, you are offended because you were not treated fairly. Or you were actually treated fairly, but you thought you were not treated fairly. Are you understanding what I'm saying? And you can take an offense. Now, let me say this. It doesn't matter whether you were treated fairly or you're not. As far as offense enters your heart, Satan is trapping your destiny. Is anybody hearing what I'm saying tonight? And let me tell you this. Many people, I hope you know that offense is a feeling. I hope you know offense is a feeling. Hello? And I hope you know it's a feeling. And you know, you have to understand something. This thing you call feeling is a work of the flesh. In other words, every time you are moving towards offense, you are operating in the flesh. Now, the root of offense is usually when a person feels hurt. Are you hearing me? There is a progression to offense. It begins by feeling hurt or insulted. Then you hold that hurt or what you consider to be insult. Then it moves into offense. Now you are angry. If you don't deal with it, it will now move into bitterness. Now, by the time your offense has become bitterness, listen to me. It is not just you. There's a spirit that is... Are you hearing what I'm saying? There's a spirit that is involved now. That is why Jesus said to Judas, he said, what you need to do, go do it quickly. The Bible says the moment Judas stood up, the Bible says, and Satan entered into him. From that moment, it was, you know, before that day, Judas was, will I? Should I? Should I not? Should I? Should I not? Are you hearing what I'm saying? The moment he stood up to go and do, a spirit entered into him. And he did not realize his mistake until he executed the intention. Then he turned back and realized, I made a mistake. Now listen to me. The first sign, if you want to know if you are offended, the first sign to show you are offended is that you withdraw. Whether you withdraw emotionally or you withdraw physically. Are you hearing me? If you want to know if you are offended about a thing, are you hearing me? Is that you can even withdraw verbally. Have you met people where they say, oh, give us suggestion on this to do? The person doesn't suggest anything. They say, what are you thinking? They say, anyhow, I'm okay. Anyhow it goes, I'm okay. The Bible says Jesus preached a message. Are you hearing me? Jesus preached a message. And after Jesus preached that message, the Bible says, and his disciples withdrew and did not walk with him anymore. 500 of them, the Bible says, they withdrew and did not walk with him anymore. We'll see the scripture. So the first sign of offense is withdrawal. Some people will be there physically, but spiritually they have left the place. Emotionally, are you hearing what I'm saying? In relationship, sometimes the worst one is in marriage. There are marriages that one party has left. One, they are there physically. They will sleep on the same bed, but they have left. They have left. See, they can even give you their body, but they have left. They have left. Something happened. Are you hearing what I'm saying? And listen, it's not boundary setting, no. Differentiate boundary, setting of boundary, and withdrawing and leaving. So the first sign that there's an... Are you hearing what I'm saying? Sometimes they may not... sometimes they will withdraw financially. Especially in churches. The first way you know somebody has left your church is not when he leaves the door. It's the moment he stops contributing financially. Go and ask any pastor. Some people can be there in the church, but whatever you are doing in the church is not their business. You can talk, you can do vision sharing, you can do vision, whatever you want to do. They have left. A young man came to see me today to tell me of his impending wedding. I won't tell you when the wedding will take place. I listened to him. When he finished talking, I said to him, congratulations. I know that the announcement I made on Sunday ruffled a lot of feathers by the manifestations we saw after Sunday. It will shock you to know how many people their wedding is in 1 month time, in 3 weeks time, in this church. It will shock you. So somebody came to see me and said to me, I came to tell you my wedding is so date, and this one and that one. When he finished, I said, congratulations, good to hear, you know. He said, actually, this one and that. I said, bros, I said, look, I'm not angry with you. I said, I'm not angry with you. One of the things, let me tell you, there are three things a pastor must adjust his heart to. One, a pastor must adjust his heart to people living. Two, a pastor must adjust his heart to people dying. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Yes, one way or the other, certain things are going to happen in your church. And a pastor must adjust his heart to ingratitude, that people will be ungrateful. So if you want to minister to people, minister and leave the outcomes. Usually, and let me tell you something. I'm going to show you. Can I finish this part I'm in? One of the most offended group of people in the world are pastors. And you know why? Because pastors lay down their lives for people. And the people you lay down your life for the most are the people who will offend, eventually hurt you the most. So I said to him, because he was feeling bad. And I said to him, don't feel bad. I'm actually not offended. And the reason why I'm not offended is not because he didn't do what was wrong. It's because before he did, I have adjusted my heart a long time ago, that one day somebody will do something to me that will offend me. And the only way to handle it, are you hearing me, is to decide to love people whether they did well or they didn't do well. So he was. I said, don't be. And then I made a statement to him. I said, marriage is not an emergency. I said, marriage is not an emergency. That you didn't tell me, only said one thing to me, that I'm not important in the calculation, in the equation of what you want to do. Because in your preparation to marry, you must have gone to the girl's house, didn't you? The girl must have come to your family, didn't she? You probably traveled, right? You must have a committee of friends. You must have contacted Brother Milan, say, Brother Milan, I'm getting married. Are you getting my point? And really, would you have a committee of friends 3 months or 1 month? You must 6 months, 1 year, your committee of friends are in place, right? Now, when you were doing all that consultation and you were in church every Sunday, did it not occur to you that pastor should know that you are getting married? So what you have simply said is that to the equation of the program before you, we are not critical and it is okay. Don't get worked up about it. I understand. Is anybody hearing what I'm saying tonight? I will try and round up now so that we'll finish the rest another time. Many times, some of the most offended people are pastors. Some of the most offended people are pastors' wives. Pastors' wives are offended with the pastor. They are offended with the church. You know, women can be offended at wonderful things. A woman can be offended with your car. A woman can be offended with living and non-living things. Because I'm going to arrive at envy and jealousy down the road. But are you understanding what I'm saying? I'm talking about the things that create platform for demonic operations in the life of a man. Judas had a great destiny. He had a bishopric, sir. The Bible says it in Acts chapter 2. In Acts chapter 1. He had a bishopric. In other words, a portion had been cut out for him. When Jesus said, these 12 will sit down and judge the tribes of Israel, he was one of the people Jesus was referring to. But offense took him out. And you will be amazed at the people who are offended at you. You will be amazed. Listen to me. You will be amazed at the people who are offended at you. Is anybody hearing what I'm saying? In the book of Esther, I spoke about it on Sunday. Haman was offended because of his ego. Esther chapter 3 verse 1. Esther chapter 3 verse 1. His ego. After these things, did King Ahasuerus promote Haman, the son of Hammedatha, the Agagite, and advanced him and set his seat above all the princes that were with him. Yes. And all the king's servants that were in the king's gate bowed and reverenced Haman, for the king had so commanded concerning him. But Mordecai bowed not, nor did him reverence. Then the king's servants which were in the king's gate said unto Mordecai, why transgressed thou the king's commandment? Now it came to pass, when they spake daily unto him, and he hearkened not unto them, that they told Haman to see whether Mordecai's matters would stand. For he had told them that he was a Jew. That means that Mordecai had told the people, I'm a Jew, I don't bow. I don't bow. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Are you hearing what I'm saying? See, listen to me. Let me tell you something. In this church, I have seen people get into offense. Some of them leave church because they said, I don't consult. That I make decision, I don't talk, I don't consult them. Now, you don't understand the call of it. You don't understand calling. You don't understand it. You think that being a pastor is democracy. Democratically, the children of Israel told Moses, take us back to Egypt. No, I'm asking you now. Democratically, the children of Israel told Moses, take us back to Egypt. Now, let me ask you a question. What did God tell Moses to do? What did God tell Moses to do? Take them to the promised land. Democratically, by voting, they told Moses, take us back to Egypt. Let us go and eat our garlic and onions and cucumber. Are you getting my point? Now, I want to ask you a question. What did God tell Moses when God met him in the wilderness? He said to him, let me destroy these people. Do you know what eventually finished Moses? Was the people. So you don't understand ministry. The ministry is that a man is chosen amongst men, that he might offer sacrifices and offerings for them in the things pertaining unto God. So the first assignment of a pastor is not the ministry to the people. The first assignment of the pastor is the ministry unto God. He is serving the people, but he's called by God. The people are the people he serves, but God is the one he answers to. Now it came to pass, when they spake daily unto him, that he hearkened not unto them, that they told Haman to see whether... Next verse. And when Haman saw that Mordecai bowed not, nor did him reverence, then was Haman full of wrath. Then was Haman full of wrath. Can I talk to you, church? Because somebody doesn't respect, may you not get yourself into... What was the cause? He was not bowing. Ego. Pride. Hallelujah. John the Baptist was offended because of expectation. Luke chapter 7 verse 18. Luke 7:18. And can I say something to you? Your spirituality does not exclude you from becoming offended. Because John the Baptist was offended, and the person that offended him was Jesus. And the disciples of John showed him of all these things. And John, that is disciples of John, right? went to meet John and told him, look at what Jesus is doing. Are you getting me? Now, as at this time, John was in prison. So John was expecting that Jesus would use his popularity. Is that okay? His connection, his influence, to go and remove him from prison. That was expected. No, I want to ask you a question. If your uncle is a senator and you don't have work, and you live in your uncle's house, are you hearing what I'm saying? Will you not get offended? Will you not get offended? I said, may you not get offended. Because let me tell you what you don't understand. Sometimes in the sovereignty of God, what God decides to, what God wants to use to open doors for you is not that man. Because everything God does, at the end of the day, God must take the glory. God does not want to come to a point where a man can look at you. That was what Abraham said. Abraham said, I have lifted up my hands to heaven, that Abimelech will not say, he made me. May no man make you. May God make you. So sometimes, even doors that look like they are doors that you should be able to walk through, God closes those doors. So they went and told John, Jesus is doing this, Jesus is doing that. Jesus, you are the one that called him into ministry. You are the one that laid hands on him, or you are the one that baptized him. This is what Jesus is doing. John is in prison. And John, calling unto him two of his disciples, sent them to Jesus, saying, art thou he that shall come, or look we for another? Because if it is you, you should do about something about my situation. Is that not so? Next verse. When the men were come unto him, they said, John Baptist had sent us unto thee, saying, art thou he that should come, or look we for another? Next verse. And in that same hour he cured many of their infirmities. Look at the response of Jesus. He cured many of their infirmities and plagues, and of evil spirits, and unto many that were blind he gave sight. Then Jesus answered, it was after he finished. Then Jesus answering said unto them, go your way and tell John what things ye have seen. You know, sincerely speaking, it makes it look as if Jesus made the matter worse. It's as if you came to somebody to collect money. It's like you came to somebody to get 50,000. And in your presence, he shared 500,000. Then he said, go and tell the man that sent you that I don't have money. Answered and said unto them, go your way and tell John what things ye have seen and heard. How that the blind see, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised. To the poor the gospel is preached. Next verse. And blessed is he, whosoever shall not be offended in me. One day when we started church, the first time my wife attacked me, I was in the house. She came back to the house furiously. She said, I want to talk to you. Sit down. I sat down. She said, the children's school fees have not been paid for 2 weeks. And you know, they were sending children home to say, tell your daddy to pay. She said, if it was church members that their children that came to you, that children didn't have school fees, would you not have paid? Blessed is he. Of offense people have is when people become offended because of the word. John chapter 6. Can I say something to you, church, this year? This year, there's so much the Lord has put in my spirit. I may not be following your timing, because I know you have timing in your heart. So I actually wanted today, Geska, I wanted to prepare tea and cake for you people. But let me just tell you, anytime you are tired, just, you know, I've told you, just pick your Bible. I give you that. There will be no offense. John chapter 6, verse 59. Now, this thing said he in the synagogue, as he taught in Capernaum. Yes? Many, therefore, of his disciples, when they had heard this, said, this is an hard saying. Who can hear it? Then Jesus knew in himself that his disciples murmured at it. He said unto them, does this offend you? you can teach the word, and the word that you're teaching can offend somebody. Many have been offended at the teaching of the word. Many have been offended at the teaching of the word. What and if ye shall see the Son of Man ascend up where he was before? Next verse. It is the spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profited nothing. The words I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. Yes. But there are some of you that believe not. For Jesus knew from the beginning who they were that believed not, and who should betray him. And he said, therefore said I unto thee, that no man can come unto me except he were given of unto him of my Father. Yes. From that time, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. They were offended at the word. And I taught you something. I said the reason why people become offended at the word is not that they don't know it is true. Are you hearing me? But whenever the word comes, the first thing the word begins to do is to restructure the structures that are in your life. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Yes. If you are fighting with your husband or you're fighting with your wife, and then the word comes, are you hearing me? And you have vowed. You know there are people that have vowed. They will never say sorry. And then the word comes and the word begins to convict you. And you have made up your mind that you will not come for the next service. It's not because the word is not true. It's because of the hardness of your heart. The Bible says he taught. They said this is a hard saying. Are you understanding what I'm saying, sir? If somebody begins to teach on prosperity or increase, or begins to teach about giving, sir, if in your heart you have adjusted your heart that you will not give, the moment you hear anything about giving, the first thing that will come up is an opposition to the message. It's an opposition to the message. So the word can offend people. The Jesus called himself, said, I'm a rock of offense. Hallelujah. So the word of God, Matthew chapter 13, let's see Matthew chapter 13, sorry, verse 57. Matthew 13, verse 57. Is anybody receiving the word today? Is anybody receiving the word today? And they were offended in him. But Jesus said unto them, a prophet is not without honor, save in his own country and in his own house. Verse 58. And he did not many mighty works there because of their unbelief. Matthew 13, verse 20. Matthew chapter 13, verse 20. Matthew 13, 20. But he that received the seed into stony places, the same is he that heareth the word and receives it with joy. Let me tell you this. There are many people. Are you hearing me? You know, there's what is called the joy of salvation. There are many people. Are you hearing me? When they come, sometimes, you know, they come into a place, they come into a church, or they come into somewhere. And the Bible says they receive the word with joy. But the moment certain things begin to happen, certain demands, I will show you. Offense is a product of lack of capacity. Offense is a product of that. Is that there is a work of the Holy Spirit that has not taken place in you. The word of God has not taken root in your life. Yet has he not rooted himself, but endured for a while or for a season. For when tribulation and persecution arises, why? Because of the word, by and by he is offended. He's offended. I'm going to stop here. We'll continue on Sunday. What we have done is to introduce the subject matter. One of the platforms, are you hearing what I'm on Sunday? I will show you how people went out of what God intended for their destiny out of offense. So it's easy for us to say, we cast out this demon. Are you hearing what I'm saying? And then we hold an offensive spirit inside. See, there's no casting out. There's nothing you will see. That spirit is living, is in your house. Because once you are living with offense, it is you that is sending the invitation letter to Satan. He said, Satan came to me and what? And found nothing. Nothing. And found nothing. And found nothing. Listen to me. Some of the most offended people in your life are very close to you. They've never told you. They never told you. I had a friend that was like my prayer partner. We used to pray together. But this is my friend. He was, if I had prayer partner, I didn't have prayer partner, but if I have a prayer partner, he is the one I would say is like my prayer partner. Because I prayed a lot with him. When the Lord was calling me to ministry, when the day God called me to ministry, he was in my room, but he didn't know. I was praying. He came to my house to come and see me. I was in prayer. So he sat down on my bed when the Lord called me. One time we were praying. When I say when the Lord called me, you know the difference between calling and sending. There are two different things. I'm saying when the Lord called me. Because when the Lord called me, when the Lord sent me, there are years apart. The day I told him that I had a calling to come and start a walk, this was the thing he said to me. He said, is it only you that God is always calling? Is it only you that God is always talking to? If you know people who are offended with you, you will be shocked. And let me tell you this. There are many people around. The reason why they are marking time in destiny is offense. Because listen to me. What you make happen to others, God will make it happen for you. Is anybody hearing me? There are people who you don't have the power, but in your heart, you have fought against the progress of many. You don't have the power to go and fight it, but in your heart, you have meant evil for men. The Bible says, he who prepares evil for good, evil shall never depart from his house. It's not every offense that is spoken. It's not every offense that is spoken. Are you hearing what I'm saying? I will show you something. I jumped a scripture. You know Saul was offended with David. I hope you know that. The Bible says they came back. Do you know that people can be offended at you? Or you can be offended at people. The people don't even know what they did to you that made you offended at them. They came back from war. And the woman went out to sing. And they said, Saul has killed his 1,000. David has killed his 10,000. The Bible says, and from that day, Saul eyed him. He said, they have already sung. He said, there's nothing left except the throne. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Sometimes you can even get offended with somebody that doesn't even know what he did to you. He didn't even do anything to you. It was the woman that sang. So in my Bible, I wrote, be careful with women. When they are singing your praises like that. In my Bible, I just wrote it there. I said, women can be dangerous. They were just the one singing. David didn't pay them to sing. And let me tell you something as I close. Listen to me. You will never come into a grace you dishonor. You will never come into a grace you dishonor. There's somebody from abroad, somebody from the UK, came last year, said to us they wanted to come and do a partnership with us. We wrote letters, we exchanged, we did everything. But I was having a discomfort in my spirit. I couldn't place my hand. Then Pastor Uche saw the video of that person was preaching somewhere. So Pastor Uche brought it to my attention. And in the message, the person was giving warning to Baba Adeboye. And of course, if somebody is warning Baba Adeboye, you should know the person now. I don't know whether you get my point. If somebody has the capacity to warn Baba Deboye, you should know the person by now. Do you understand what I'm saying? Okay, let me explain. You cannot be a non-entity and warn Baba Deboye. So if you are warning Baba Deboye, we must know you. We must know your impact. So the person was warning, Baba Deboye was warning Oedipo. I told Pastor Uche, write and tell them that we are not doing the program again. We are not doing the partnership again. I said, we will not give our church for it. You cannot enter a grace you dishonor. You cannot. Do you know, people sit down. I know a lot of people. A lot of people preach out of offense. Paul said it now. Some people preach out of strife. People preach. Let me tell you something. We will see it on Sunday. Many people have become callous. They have become lame. Do you know when the Bible says that? When you hear that a man has fallen from grace, actually, the real cause of falling from grace is offense. See, rid yourself of that spirit. Rid yourself of that spirit. Paul said, I do all things to live in all good conscience with all men. You can't get me offended. That means I'll not be keeping my list with you. And then I'll not be murmuring with you. No? That's the reason why many people's prayer life is not working. Because you can't live in offense and have a proper prayer life. You are just deceiving yourself. Like us to bow our heads to pray.
Gateway Christian Center. Experience life.